imagine pouring your heart and soul into creating something groundbreaking, something yeah. unique. You've got that secret sauce, that competitive edge. Then a former employee walks out and starts a rival company, seemingly replicating your most valuable asset. How would you feel?
Betrayed.
Infuriated.
Absolutely. It's a nightmare scenario for any business, especially in a cutthroat market. And that's precisely what happened in Electrocraft Corp. v. Controlled Motion, Inc. This 1983 case decided by the Minnesota Supreme Court is a stark reminder that brilliant ideas need more than just ingenuity. They need robust legal protection.
This case has some serious twists and turns, I hear. So let's break it down. We're talking about servo motors, right? High-performance electric motors used in all sorts of advanced applications.
You got it. Electrocraft Corporation, ECC for short, was a leading player in the servo motor game. They developed a specific motor design, the A125-03-003, which they believed gave them a significant advantage in the market. But their approach to safeguarding that design, well, let's just say it wasn't exactly airtight.
Okay, I'm already sensing a cautionary tale here. They obviously had their employees sign confidentiality agreements, right? Isn't that standard practice?
Confidentiality agreements are certainly a crucial first step, but in this case, they weren't enough. The court really honed in on a concept called reasonable efforts to maintain secrecy, a key element of the Minnesota Uniform Trade Secrets Act. ECC's actions, or perhaps more accurately, their lack of action, simply didn't meet that legal standard.
So what exactly did they do or not do that landed them in hot water?
Well, for starters, their security measures were surprisingly lax. We're talking unlocked doors, no restricted areas for sensitive information, and get this, they even offered public tours of their manufacturing process.
Wait, seriously? They let just anyone wander in and potentially see how they built their supposedly top-secret motor?
Yep. It seems almost unbelievable, right? And the oversights didn't stop there. The court also pointed out that ECC wasn't consistent in marking documents as confidential. Their handling of discarded documents was also far from secure. It's like they weren't treating this valuable information with the level of care it deserved.
It sounds like they were practically inviting someone to walk off with their trade secrets.
That's essentially what the court concluded. The Minnesota Uniform Trade Secrets Act requires companies to show they took reasonable efforts to maintain secrecy. In ECC's case, the court found their efforts fell far short. It wasn't just a minor oversight, it was a systemic failure to protect their intellectual property.
This is a massive wake-up call for any company, big or small. Having a brilliant idea isn't enough. You have to take concrete steps to protect it. But how do you determine what those steps should be? What exactly constitutes reasonable efforts in the eyes of the law?
That's where things get interesting. The court didn't lay out a rigid checklist, but they did provide some important guidance. It's not just about having confidentiality agreements. It's about creating a culture of secrecy and implementing tangible security measures.
So locking the doors, marking documents, and restricting access, that's all part of it. But what about the legal framework? How does the Minnesota Uniform Trade Secrets Act differ from, say, federal trade secret laws?
That's a great question. The Minnesota Uniform Trade Secrets Act, while similar to federal law in many respects, has its own nuances. For instance, it defines a trade secret as information that derives independent economic value from not being generally known and is the subject of efforts that are reasonable under the circumstances to maintain its secrecy.
Okay, so there's that reasonable efforts phrase again. It seems like that's the crux of the matter.
Mm-hmm.
What are some real-world examples of actions companies can take to demonstrate those reasonable efforts? What does that actually look like in practice?
Well, think about it this way. If you were trying to protect a valuable jewel, you wouldn't just leave it out in the open. You'd lock it in a safe, maybe even hire security guards. The same principle applies to trade secrets.
So we're talking physical security measures like restricted areas, secure document storage, and maybe even surveillance systems.
Exactly. And it extends beyond physical security. Think about employee training programs that emphasize the importance of confidentiality. Clear policies about handling sensitive information, and even exit interviews that reinforce those obligations.
It sounds like building a comprehensive security strategy, both physical and digital, is essential. But what about the employees themselves? They're the ones with access to this sensitive information. How do you ensure they understand the gravity of protecting trade secrets?
That's where clear communication and robust training come in. You need to clearly define what information is considered confidential, why it's valuable, and the potential consequences of mishandling it. Don't just rely on legalese in a contract. Make it real for them. Explain how a breach could impact their jobs, the company's future, and even their own careers.
So it's about fostering a culture of respect for intellectual property, not just ticking boxes on a legal checklist.
Absolutely. You want your employees to be your first line of defense, not a potential weak link.
This is all incredibly insightful. But let's not forget about the other side of this case. John Mahoney, the former ECC employee who started the rival company, controlled Motion Inc., or CMI.
Huh?
What exactly did they do that got them in trouble? Was it simply replicating the motor design?
Well, the court ultimately ruled that ECC didn't have a valid trade secret claim because of their own failings. However, CMI wasn't exactly off the hook. They were hit with a contempt order, and that's where things get even more intriguing.
Contempt of court. That sounds serious. What did they do to warrant that?
Remember that temporary injunction the district court initially issued against CMI? Well, even though they were appealing that injunction, they didn't exactly comply with it while the appeal was pending.
So they disregarded a court order. That's a bold move.
It certainly is, and it's a risky one. The court didn't buy CMI's argument that they had made enough modifications to their motors to comply with the injunction. They saw it as a blatant attempt to circumvent the order and upheld the contempt finding.
This case is like a legal thriller full of unexpected twists. We've talked about ECC's failure to adequately protect their trade secrets and CMI's disregard for a court order. But what are the broader implications here? What lessons can we as legal professionals glean from this complex situation?
That's where we really start to dive deep into the strategic and ethical considerations at play. This case isn't just a cautionary tale for businesses. It's a roadmap for lawyers on both sides of these disputes. We need to understand not only the legal framework surrounding trade secrets, but also the practical steps necessary to protect them, enforce those protections, and navigate the complexities of litigation.
It sounds like we've only just scratched the surface of this fascinating case. There's so much more to unpack here. Let's take a moment to digest this information and then come back to delve deeper into the key takeaways and what they mean for legal professionals today.
Welcome back. We've been dissecting Electrocraft Corp. v. Controlled Motion, Inc., a case that, well, throws open the doors on trade secret law and throws in a contempt charge for good measure.
It's a real nail biter. But beyond the drama, there are some serious lessons here for us, legal eagles. What are the key takeaways, especially for lawyers who might be advising clients on trade secret matters?
Well, this case is a masterclass in how not to handle trade secrets. It highlights the importance of a proactive and multifaceted approach to safeguarding intellectual property. You can't simply assume your client's brilliant idea is protected just because it's, well, brilliant.
So it's not enough to just have those standard confidentiality agreements in place.
Confidentiality agreements are the foundation, but they're just one brick in the wall. Think of it as building a fortress around your client's valuable information. You need multiple layers of protection.
Okay, I like that analogy. So what are some of the other defensive strategies lawyers should be considering? What are the battlements and moats of trade secret protection?
First and foremost, you need to clearly define what constitutes a trade secret for your client. Don't leave it vague or open to interpretation. Be meticulous in identifying the specific information that gives them a competitive edge. Then implement practical measures like marking documents as confidential or proprietary and strictly limiting access to sensitive data.
So no more leaving those top secret plans lying around the office.
Precisely. And don't forget about physical security measures, restricted areas, locked filing cabinets, secure document disposal protocols. And in today's world, cybersecurity is paramount. Protecting electronic data is just as crucial as safeguarding physical documents.
It sounds like employee training is a critical component as well.
Absolutely. You need to educate employees on the importance of confidentiality and make sure they understand the company's trade secret policies inside and out. Regular training sessions can go a long way in preventing a careless mistake that could cost your client millions.
This all makes perfect sense, but I'm wondering about situations where a former employee develops a product that's similar to their previous employers.
Yeah.
They claim they didn't use any confidential information. How do courts handle those gray areas?
That's where things can get really tricky. Courts have to carefully weigh the evidence and consider factors like the similarity of the products, the former employee's access to trade secrets, and any indication of actual misappropriation. Often it boils down to a battle of expert witnesses and forensic analysis.
It sounds like proving trade secret misappropriation can be a real challenge.
It can be, especially if the company claiming misappropriation didn't lay the groundwork with robust protective measures. That's why Electrocraft serves as such a powerful reminder. Prevention is key.
Speaking of prevention, let's circle back to that contempt order against CMI. The court ultimately ruled against ECC on the trade secret claim, but they still found CMI in contempt. Why is that distinction so important?
It underscores a fundamental principle of the legal system. Court orders, even temporary ones, are not mere suggestions. They carry the weight of law, and violating them has consequences.
So even if a company believes they'll win on appeal, they can't just ignore a court order while the case is pending.
Exactly. CMI tried to argue they had modified their motors enough to comply with the injunction, but the court saw right through it. They called it a shallow pretext and upheld the contempt finding.
This case is like a double whammy of lessons learned. Protect your trade secrets and respect the court's authority, even if you disagree with a particular order.
Precisely. Disobeying a court order can lead to separate penalties, damage your client's reputation, and even impact the outcome of the case.
So this case highlights the need for proactive legal strategies and a healthy dose of respect for the judicial process.
Couldn't have said it better myself. In the legal world, knowledge is power and preparation is key. Now, before we wrap up our deep dive into electrocraft, I want to share a particularly insightful quote from the court's opinion that really captures the essence of this case.
I'm all ears. A little legal wisdom never hurt anyone.
The court stated, and I quote, "The law of trade secrets does not condone, and this court certainly will not reward ECC's conduct." That statement speaks volumes. Courts expect businesses to take reasonable steps to protect their own intellectual property.
It's a powerful message that underscores the importance of diligence and foresight when it comes to safeguarding those valuable trade secrets. But what about the companies on the other side of the equation, those facing a trade secret misappropriation claim? What advice would you offer them?
If you find yourself in that situation, my first piece of advice is don't panic, but don't underestimate the seriousness of the situation either. Engage experienced legal counsel immediately to assess the claim and develop a strategic defense.
So avoid the do-it-yourself lawyering approach.
Absolutely. Trade secret law is complex and nuanced. You need an expert in your corner to navigate the legal landscape effectively.
What are some practical steps companies can take to prepare for a potential trade secret lawsuit?
Documentation is paramount. Gather all relevant documents, confidentiality agreements, employee handbooks, security protocols, anything that supports your client's position. Be prepared to demonstrate the steps they took to protect their trade secrets and refute the allegations against them.
It sounds like a thorough internal investigation is crucial.
Absolutely. You need to understand the scope of the allegations and gather all the facts before you can formulate a winning defense. And remember, even if your client believes they've done nothing wrong, cooperation with the legal process is essential. Responding to discovery requests promptly and thoroughly can make a significant difference in the outcome.
This is incredibly valuable information. It seems like the key takeaway from electrocraft is that both sides of a trade secret dispute need to be proactive, prepared, and above all, respectful of the law.
Well said. This case is a stark reminder that in the world of intellectual property, the devil is often in the details. Careful planning, diligent execution, and sound legal counsel can be the difference between winning and losing.
So true. We've explored the intricacies of trade secret law, the importance of proactive protection, and the consequences of violating court orders. But before we wrap things up, I have one final question for you. If you could distill all of this down to one piece of advice for our listeners, what would it be? What's the golden rule of trade secret law?
If I had to boil it down to one key takeaway, it would be this. Don't wait for a crisis to hit before thinking about trade secret protection. Be proactive, be vigilant, and seek expert legal guidance early and often. Your client's intellectual property is one of their most valuable assets. Treat it that way.
Wise words to live by. Well, folks, that brings us to the end of our deep dive into electrocraft v. Controlled Motion. We hope you found this exploration insightful and informative. But before we sign off, we want to leave you with one final thought to ponder. In today's, that makes sense. So where do we begin? What are the essential building blocks of a solid trade secret protection plan?
The first step is identification. It might seem obvious, but you'd be surprised how many companies haven't taken the time to clearly define what information truly constitutes a trade secret. It's about pinpointing the specific data, processes, or formulas that give them a competitive advantage. Conduct a thorough audit of their intellectual property and create a comprehensive inventory of those trade secrets.
So it's like taking stock of the crown jewels before locking them in a vault.
Exactly. Once you know what you're protecting, you can start building those layers of defense we discussed earlier. Clear written policies and procedures for handling confidential information. covering everything from document marking to access restrictions to employee training.
And of course, those ironclad confidentiality agreements.
Absolutely. Make sure your clients have well-drafted confidentiality agreements in place with all employees, contractors, and anyone else who might have access to their trade secrets. Those agreements should clearly spell out what information is confidential, how it can be used, and the consequences of a breach.
It's not just about having the agreements. It's about making sure they're enforceable and tailored to the specific situation.
You got it. And remember, laws can vary from state to state, so it's essential to have an attorney review those agreements to ensure they comply with the relevant jurisdiction.
This is all fantastic advice for preventing trade secret misappropriation. But what happens if, despite our best efforts, a client suspects that a former employee or competitor has stolen their trade secrets? What's the next move?
If there's reason to believe misappropriation has occurred, speed is key. Don't delay in taking action. The first step is to gather as much evidence as possible to support the claim. This might include emails, documents, computer files, witness testimony, anything that can help build a case.
So it's a bit like putting on our detective hats.
In a way, yes. You need to build a solid case that demonstrates that the information in question was indeed a trade secret, that reasonable steps were taken to protect it, and that the other party misappropriated it. It's about connecting the dots and building a compelling narrative.
And once you've gathered that evidence, what then?
Consult with an experienced intellectual property attorney right away. They can help assess the strength of the case, advise on the best course of action, and guide your client through the legal process.
It sounds like having the right legal counsel in your corner can make all the difference.
Absolutely. Trade secret litigation is complex, often expensive, and you need an attorney who understands the nuances of this specific area of law and can effectively advocate for your client's interests.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground today, from the nuts and bolts of proactive trade secret protection to the steps to take if misappropriation is suspected. Electrocraft v. Controlled Motion has provided us with a wealth of insights. And as we wrap up this deep dive into the world of trade secrets, I want to thank you for joining us.
It's been a pleasure sharing these insights with you and our listeners.
Remember, folks, knowledge is power. And with the right strategies in place, we can help our clients protect their valuable intellectual property and achieve lasting success. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and keep those legal minds sharp.